prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today is Thursday. We have Military Fitness Radio during the first hour, and then we will be switching it up to talk about the science behind humic and fulvic acid with Dr. Stuart Hoover and Carrie. I'm not sure if Carrie Lynn is actually going to make it today. There's a chance that she may not be feeling well, but we're going to figure that out during the first hour. Of course, I have to say that Superhuman Radio is made possible through a very, very generous sponsorship from All American Pharmaceutical and their brand, EFX Sports. You can go to superhumanradio.net to learn more about that. Without further delay, let's bring what people are calling the real Chuck Norris. You believe that? Someone emailed me and said, Nate Morrison is the real Chuck Norris. Not that Chuck Norris is fake.
Good God.
I don't know where that came from, but some people think you're a mountain man. Others think that you are Mitch Rapp. I had someone email me and say, Nate sounds like the real Mitch Rapp. Do you know who Mitch Rapp is?
I don't even know who that is, no.
Mitch Rapp is a fictional character like Jack Reacher. I read all the Mitch Rapp novels, by the way.
Okay.
You know, he's CIA and he's Black Ops and all that sort of stuff. And so you're the real thing, the real McCoy.
Oh my,
I know. That's big to live up to now, right?
and don't tell Chuck Norris that. I don't need that kind of trouble in my life.
How can you be the real Chuck Norris when Chuck Norris isn't dead yet? You know what I mean?
I know.
That's funny.
But I've got a friend of mine who he was over in Kuwait teaching a bunch of guys tactical medicine, and it was about the time that all those Chuck Norris facts were coming out. And it just so happened he didn't know this at the time, but Chuck Norris was on a USO tour. And the class was getting a little unruly, and so he said, "You guys don't knock it off. You know, I'm going to have Chuck Norris walk in." Well, about 90 seconds later, Chuck Norris walked in, and his status went to legend instantly.
Oh, he had no idea. He didn't know.
He had no idea. None.
That's funny. That is funny.
So anyway,
today's discussion is something I've pondered, too, which makes me feel good that you think about it as well. And that is manual labor. Oh, wait. Before we get started, anything that we talk about today, if you want to learn more and you want to reach out to Nate Morrison, it's militarymultisport.com. We'll give the website again throughout the show. Manual labor. This is really actually important because this is really the original exercise, if you will, right? Before people started having to go out and find ways to stimulate activity in their lives, they worked for a living. They picked up heavy stuff and so on, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's very interesting when you study the history of physical culture. Of course, we like to, you know, here in the fitness world, we love to trace our origins, so to speak, back to classical Greece and, oh, they lifted stones and made the first dumbbells and all this other sort of fun stuff.
Milo and his bull.
Yeah. There's all of that stuff. And that's cool, and it's mildly interesting. Actually, it's incredibly interesting. There's some amazing, amazing things that came out of Greece. But that wasn't the normal experience for the average human being throughout all of human history. Really, honestly, people don't understand that it wasn't until really probably the 80s when the gym craze hit that people started to work out to do resistance training, because the whole strongman thing and bodybuilding, whatever, that was a fringe movement. It was tiny. There was nobody really doing that. That wasn't a thing. You had athletes and that just kind of came out of the athletic world a little bit. It was something that there wasn't an athletic sanctioning to. And then, you know, really after the Weiders and Arnold got bodybuilding going and gyms became a thing, you know, moving from the 60s into the 80s, you know, people don't understand, well, what did you do before that? You worked. that was it, man. And folks have completely forgotten that. They don't even understand what that is. So it's good that we revisit the way of farmers, loggers, carpenters, etc.
Well, in fact, I've made a statement on this show several times. Because we understand that inactivity is a risk factor for early mortality, equivalent to smoking cigarettes, that I've said 100 years from now, the jobs that will be popular will not be the $150,000 a year desk job, but instead landscaping, bricklaying, the job that keeps you out there in the world, because you may not be making as much money, but you'll have a longer, healthier life, and that's going to become more important someday.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've got a good friend of mine, Coach Nathan Craig out in Colorado, and you know, he's doing outdoor electrical work now because it keeps him outdoors. And he just can't stand to be indoors. He wants to be out. He wants to be in the sun, out in the mountains. And so he's doing, you know, basically installing solar panels and that type of thing all over Colorado. And he's loving it. Just, you know, because if you're sitting, the more sedentary you get. And I'm really, I'll tell you this much, you know, I've been forced into that lifestyle, unfortunately, by life circumstances over the last several years. And I will tell you, if you're a little bit aware, you can feel yourself dying on the inside. You can feel the deterioration, the atrophy and everything. And so I can't wait to get back out there and start working with him and just turn this whole thing around, because, man, it sucks dying a little bit at a time.
Now, Ron Rossi sent me a video that I passed on to you this morning, and it's from NRA TV. And in the middle of the video, they're talking about how new recruits are in such poor shape today.
Yeah. Yeah. This is one of the great sociological issues that we face today. And it's truly an epidemic at this time. I mean, the God's honest truth is, I mean, we're in other countries. Other countries are not inside the U.S. When it comes to military action, but should something happen, should we need to mobilize on the scale of World War II or something like that, there aren't enough people. There's only one of the stats that they quoted on that was that only 23% of the military recruiting pool is of the proper body composition to join the military. Everyone else, that means that, that's what, 77% of the population is overweight. And it's becoming the majority of those people are actually obese. So they're over a BMI of 30. And I mean, that's catastrophic, because, you know, you don't just walk that back. And even being overweight, technically overweight, which, as I recall, is over BMI of 27.5, that's not something that you just clean up their diet a little bit and have them work out a little bit. What's happened is we've got this, you know, kids are sedentary from the beginning of their lives all the way to the end now. And so you can't take someone that has no bone density, no bone strength. They've got nothing for tendons, nothing for ligaments, nothing for muscles. You don't throw physical training at them. I mean, it's going to take those guys a decade of training to get to where, you know, a normal athletic kid today actually is. And people don't understand this. You can't just PT a guy into shape real quick, especially if he's been a video game player and all that sort of thing for all his life and been very sedentary. And, you know, within childhood development, we've talked about this a little bit in the past where, you know, right at the time that kids should really start to take off in their physical development, as a society, the first thing that we do is we put them in a chair and make them sit there for most of the day, and we immediately begin to retard their development. But it used to be they had an outlet in sports. They could play sports, but now schools don't do as much recess. Some schools don't really do recess. Interest in after-school sports and whatnot has declined dramatically. So, yeah, I mean, we are in the throes of this massive, massive crisis, because if we need to mobilize, we're screwed. We're done.
I told you my experience 7 years ago. I interviewed a recruiter from Washington, D.C. Actually, he's over recruiting. like over the division, whatever it is. And he said a lot of these guys are coming to the military thinking that, it like, oh, if I just join the military and go through boot camp, they'll whip me into shape. And they're going, no, man, you can't even get in. You can't do two push-ups. You can't get in. We're not a health club. We're like, that's you're going to die on this job if you look like you do, you know?
Yeah. Well, and you know, I mentioned on this show before that that's not the role, you know, from a lot of different perspectives, but it certainly including the civics perspective, is it's not the role of the military to get you in shape. It's the role of we the people, the society,
to
provide in shape men for the Army. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And you know, I think if we brought back the traditional militia system, we'd have a hell of a better shot at doing that.
Well, and also, no one wants to do manual labor anymore. But back in the day, my father was a truck driver when he went into the military. He drove a truck without power steering, and he unloaded boxes himself with a little forklift.
Yeah.
And, you know, so when he went into the military, when he went into the Navy, he was already fit. I mean, you know, today people sit around all day long. They don't do anything. So that brings us back to the whole topic of manual labor, and it's important.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, as you're growing, as you're developing, you know, the body needs to take a certain amount of pounding. There's a workload that it's supposed to be subjected to, and that's what makes it grow. So that's what gives you bones. Like when I grew up, I mean, I've never broken a bone. I've never even had a microfracture or anything like that, you know, because I grew up doing manual labor and playing sports. And, you know, it gives you this just amazing bone density that, I mean, you can fall off a two-story building and be fine, you know. Well, maybe, you know, you'll hurt a little bit. But believe me, big falls are not a big deal when you've got really rugged bones.
Right.
And the tissues to do that. And the thing that I keep telling people is that adaptation takes time, and it's no different than the soccer mom who shows up and says, I have a wedding to be at in 3 weeks. I need to lose 30 pounds stat. It's like, tough. Ain't going to happen.
Right.
You know, I'm sorry. But, you know, so we've got to back the train up, and I'm trying to get recruiters to understand this. Just to, I guess, segue back onto the DOD thing. I'm trying to talk to them. I'm going to really broaden my outreach on this when I get out to Colorado, because they have got to understand that if they want to be successful and they want to bring these guys in, they've got to be approaching these guys much earlier, and they've got to get them doing the proper type of physical training much earlier. And then that way they can have a measure of success. But this whole thing of you and I meet, we shake hands, and 3 months later, you're gone. I mean, you know, we're just about out of those people, and the pool of those people gets smaller every year. So it's something where we've just got to raise that national awareness.
So
back to manual labor.
Yeah, so 20% of them wash out in basic training. More wash out in AIT/tech school. What's AIT?
Advanced individual training. It's where they teach you your job, whatever it is.
So would you say close to 50% of the people that will enlist will not go on and be in the military?
I wouldn't say 50%, no. It's closer to 25-30%,
still
depending on the career field.
Still significant. Yeah. When you're trying to, because think about it, you know, where everybody's talking about money to rebuild the military, but one of the things that you can't just legislate is healthy individuals to join the military.
Right. And you know, it's interesting that you mention that, because that is something that Russia did and brought back from the Soviet Union days, was they brought back a legislated national physical training program that they institute in the schools. And it was incredibly popular. It's something that, you know, unfortunately it violates kind of all of your laws of natural law and morality and all that sort of thing, and our constitutional
personal freedoms.
But at the same time,
if I want to be fat, Nate, I'm allowed to be fat because I'm free. You know,
right. And that's a much longer discussion in civics, but it's interesting to note, because what happened when the Soviet Union fell, the Russian government stopped doing that, and after a couple of years, the army went to the government and said, what in the hell is going on? This is ridiculous.
Right.
You know, and so they, you know, it's that exact same problem. So the government said, okay, well, we'll just bring that program back. And so they did, and that's turned around their problem by and large. It's not perfect. Nothing is, but it's certainly a heck of a lot better than the alternatives. So, but I think, you know, what we need in this country is just some solid leadership. And I think that's something that, you know, you and I are trying to do that with this show, is try to raise the awareness, try to raise the conversation within society and get people to start doing the right thing. And, I think maybe in the future we ought to do a couple of shows on some of the other related things, like the fact that people are addicted to smartphones and the internet and television and all this sort of thing. And, you know, I'll share some of my experiences in trying to break those addictions.
What exactly is the light infantry, and why is it a mistake that the UK says the light infantry is dead?
Yeah. So I read this article today, this morning, where, the United Kingdom, Britain has looked at their military, and they've always got, you know, the military's always got, you know, some plan for the next decade that they're doing, and they've got their 2020 plan, and it's a revised plan and all that, and one of the things that comes out of that is they've said, well, you know, this light infantry thing, you know, it's not really anything that we need, it's not something that's important, let's just get rid of that thing. And of course, what they're doing instead is they're saying, well, we'll keep a little bit and we'll call them specialized infantry and we'll use them a lot. And basically the model that they're using is based on the Army, U.S. Army Rangers. And, but the problem is that the Rangers, you know, that's only three battalions. It's one regiment of three battalions plus a training battalion. And, you know, these guys, they're, like any specialized force, you can only use them so much before they start to break down. You can't have, for example, you can't have a triathlete run a race every week, you know, or even every month. You know, it's just too much. And this is what we've been doing with our special operations forces, and to include the Rangers and all that. And so the UK is basically saying, oh, well, we're not going to worry so much about training good, solid light infantry folks. We're just going to invest in more armored vehicles, which are great targets for the enemy. And then we'll have the specialized infantry guys, and they'll do all the dirty work, and we'll just invest in technology over here. Well, the problem is that they're still trying to fight World War II. They're still trying to address improvised explosive devices in Iraq. You know, they're fighting yesterday's wars and last decade's wars. It, with their thinking, what's coming, like we've talked about before, I think in this show and in my other podcast that I've started doing, is that what's coming is a hell of a lot more light infantry. In fact, smaller groups of light infantry moving really fast that are self-sustaining, self-reliant, that you just release into the wild as hunter-killer groups to combat this hybrid warfare thing that's going on. And to combat the way that the Islamists like to fight, which is not to get big, not to get centralized, because you're an open target, so you can't operate that way. So these guys, you know, it's like everything else that the UK is doing here recently. And I've got a lot of good friends over there in the MOD, but it's they're shooting themselves in the foot. They're you know, they just built a giant aircraft carrier that's ridiculous. I think the Russians issued a kind of a joking statement of, wow, what a big target that is. And now they're doubling down on this type of stuff. They're moving in the wrong direction. They need to knock it off with this investment in technology and hardware and invest in the human being and software. And you'll get just so much more traction and mileage out of that. So
yeah, interesting.
A long spiel.
You wanted to talk about my experience with the force production method, which I started using. I actually talked about it yesterday in the second half of the show. I actually did a segment about it, but here's my summary.
Yeah.
This may be one of the most sensible ways to train that I've ever seen. It's actually kind of like an enhanced Arthur Jones approach. And the way I explained it to people is you do one warm-up set just for the first movement. After that, you jump directly into a fairly heavy work set, and you can alternate the weight, how heavy and how many reps you want to shoot for, varying that week after week or session to session. But you go right to failure with that first set while you've got all the juice in you. You're still hot. You're still fresh. You just got there. And then you rest. For me, it's 3 minutes. I rest for 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
and then you jump back into that movement again, and you do another one to failure. And in theory, that second one is a check set. Did you really go to muscular failure that first time? Did you give up because the girl walked past and you checked out her butt and you lost your track, train of thought? So theoretically, that second set, you should fail on the same number or an earlier number. And if you did your work right, you're going to fail on a really, really earlier number. And that's it for that movement. You move on. You get your volume by using a variety of movements. So you do six or seven movements, basically two sets to failure. And literally, you literally feel, and you were right. I got to be honest with you. When people tell me, oh, I felt pumped for 2 days, it's like, yeah, okay, I get it. Okay. You're trying to sell your program. You do. You feel, your muscles feel not only pumped, but instead of feeling rubbery and fatigued for 3 days after you work out, they are toned and ready for action immediately after the workout. You have not blasted them, but you've stimulated them. And I got to tell you something. Just in 1 week, my shoulders are changing.
Nice.
Using this approach. So there's going to be more about that, and I'm trying to convince Nate to do a brief ebook because I really believe that no matter how you're training right now, if you're looking for a way to switch up for a while, this is really a great way to train, really a great way to train.
Yeah, absolutely, Carl. And you know, the funny thing that you'll find is, you know, for example, if you're going after hypertrophy, and I think the example I gave last week was, you know, you throw, you know, 200 pounds on the bar for a bench press, and let's say you're using 70% one rep max, and you're shooting for 12 reps or something, and you get that 12 reps. Well, the thing is that as you go, because when you and I talked offline, you said that some folks had a little bit of a concern about volume. And they thought, well, gosh, that's not enough volume. Well, I got two things to say about that. The first is that bad quality volume pushes you backwards. It's only going to retard your gains. Okay, you're working against yourself if it's bad volume. Okay, volume for the sake of volume is a bunch of BS. You need the highest quality volume you can get. And so, to that end, you're going to find as you do this. So maybe you get right now you're only able to do, say, two sets. You know, you went all the way to failure, and then the next time, you know, let's say you did the 12 reps, but then the next time you're only getting 10. Well, there's going to be a point pretty soon where you hit two sets of 12. Well, now you're doing three sets, aren't you? You know, you did two sets of 12 and then one set of 10. Okay, you're done. Then it's going to be three sets of 12, you know, and it's just going to go up and up like that. And things get real interesting real quick with this.
Well, the way I'm getting the volume is, Like today I did back, so I did an underhand close grip pull down.
Yeah,
240 pounds was my first work set, and I think I took that to 20 reps to failure. And then the next set, I only got like 14 reps out of it. That was it. I was spent. Then I moved on to another rowing movement that hit my back from a different angle. Same protocol. Then I moved on to a single dumbbell bent over dumbbell. With a 110-pound dumbbell, took that. Obviously, unilateral takes a little bit longer, left hand, right hand rest. But I took those to failure. So you get your volume by using a variety of movements, in my humble opinion. So you can get your volume right away from the get-go. But taking this approach does a couple things. I believe that we all know fatigue starts in the brain, not in the muscle. But also, I think fatigue has patterns. In other words, you may be able to do something and get fatigued in it, but you'll go do something else and not be that fatigued in it because that pattern hasn't been etched into the fatigue of the brain yet. And so
you really,
by moving to different movements and taking those two sets to failure, you get your volume, you get your failure, you get everything. But more importantly, you walk out of the gym bouncing instead of dragging.
Yeah. And I mentioned to you, again, when we were offline that, you know, what the Russians are always, you know, were always telling me when I was over there, and Pavel Tsatsulin used to say this as well, when you leave the gym, you shouldn't be crawling out of it. You should walk out of the gym so pumped and amped and ready to rock and roll that you feel like you could run 10 miles.
Yes.
And if you don't feel that way, you really screwed up.
And keep in mind, I've kicked all caffeine since New Year's. No coffee, no caffeine, and I'm doing this work. This is great. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to start to talk about the secrets of manual labor. This is Military Fitness Radio, and it's brought to you by
militarymultisport.com. Check it out.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
When's the last time you look forward to taking your pre-workout? I mean, like thinking about it the night before, shaking it up, anticipating the way it tastes? The music starts to thump louder. The weight starts to get lighter. Get ready to feel that way. Bounty Hunter is that pre-workout. Bounty Hunter will make you believe in pre-workouts again. Get free shipping with code SHR on a jug of ridiculously delicious, badass vanilla bourbon Bounty Hunter. Go to wildwestnutrition.com or click the banner ad at superhumanradio.net.
If you suffer from abdominal bloating, relief is here. Introducing
Atrontil.
Developed by a board-certified gastroenterologist, it relieves bloating where it starts, in the small bowel. That's why
Atrontil
works while other remedies don't. In clinical trials, 88% of bloating sufferers who use prescription medications with no relief found
Atrontil
relieved their symptoms, and it's available without a prescription because
Atrontil
is made from a patented molecular combination of botanical extracts. It's not a probiotic. Plus, it's natural, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO.
A-T-R-A-N-T-I-L, Atrontil.
Atrontil. Even the name is proven to make you feel better.
Go to lovemytummy.com and use code SHR for 10% off. That's code SHR at lovemytummy.com. Lovemytummy.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Oh, no, no, no. We just went
Welcome
that way.
Welcome back.
No, 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 no. We just went that way.
To Military Fitness Radio, we're talking about manual labor today. Many of us have done manual labor, and it does some really great things for you, believe it or not. So let's talk about manual labor. What do we know? What do we know about manual laborers that we can indoctrinate into this discussion?
Well, the thing that we all know, just as a cultural norm, is that they're strong. You know, they're guys that can work all day long, that never get tired. And you know, we're all familiar with, you know, your grandfather shakes your hand and just crushes your hand, or, you know, your grandfather, you know, works you right to death or something like that. You know, and there's all kinds of other little anecdotes of, you know, for example, you know, farmers and loggers having, you know, very thick muscular fingers and hands. And, you know, a lot of people are very confused about that. They don't realize that, yes, actually you have muscles in your hands and in your fingers, and they do grow. You know, and when it comes to, I guess, a little bit more, scientifically, we know that, for example, I talk about bone density all the time. They have extraordinarily, large, dense bones. And when I say large, they're not that much larger than the average person, but the density of those bones is profound. You know, easily twice as dense as your normal person, sometimes more now, I think, because the studies were done quite a long time ago. The tendons that connect muscle to bone are much larger, much thicker. The ligaments that connect bone to bone are much thicker and much larger. And of course, the muscles are very uniquely conditioned. On top of that, we also know that manual labors up to a certain point, and I think I've got the notes somewhere later on what manual laborers screw up. But for let's say the first half of life, manual laborers have the best heart health as well, which was proven in the 1968 dock workers study. You know, they were trying to determine, this was back when Dr. Cooper was trying to prove the efficacy of running and jogging and all that. And so they did a whole bunch of studies across a lot of different population groups, and they found that the guys that were loading and unloading ships and working on the docks and in the warehouses there had the healthiest hearts in America. And then, of course, anyone that's ever seen someone that's grown up on the farm, I mean, I've got pictures of myself when I was on the farm, and I would kill for that body today.
You know what's really funny? When we go, there's this one farmer's market we go to during the summertime, and we've watched this young Mennonite boy grow.
He's yeah.
Right, right before, like, we've been going to this particular farmer's market for about 7 years. And this past year, the kid, he had no shirt on and suspenders on with his pants and his hat because it was really, really a hot day, and they were unloading a truck. And Elisa goes, "Oh my God, look at him. Remember how little he, and he, like, this kid looked like G.I. Joe. He had the sculpted abs. He had the separation where the hips joined the abs. I mean, it was like, and you know, this kid's not thinking about his body when he's working all day, lugging bales of hay and milking cows. And it's like, oh man. And this, and when I saw that kid, it made sense to me. You know what made sense to me? When we look at Roman and Greco statues, these guys look like bodybuilders. You're like, oh man, no, they just worked really friggin' hard just for life.
Right. Well, and you know, it's so funny to me because there's all of this this talk of core work, and like I think I said last week or week before. I mean, there's nothing that I hate more than anyone in the fitness industry uttering the word core or abs, because they have no idea what they're talking about. But when you really look at it, the real core and ab work is done when you're doing manual labor, you know, something that involves a handled implement. So shovels, pitchforks, pickaxes, you know, anything where you're moving weight on the end of a lever, okay, that is what really truly activates the core to do its dynamic stabilization thing. And then, of course, you're moving it in all of the different ways that that the human body is supposed to be supposed to function in, and that is, of course, specific training for those muscles. And bam, you've got the perfect body.
Well, you know what else you get as a byproduct of this?
Huh.
Perfect sleep.
What's that?
Perfect sleep.
Oh gosh.
You know why, and you know why that is? Because adenosine triphosphate is cleaved, and adenosine accumulates in the brain and creates the sleep need. So adenosine makes you sleepy. People don't know about this. It has to accumulate and accumulate in the brain over the day, and it forces sleep to occur. So when you don't move and you don't work all day long, you don't sleep well.
No, you don't. It's one of the things that I've noted, and it's something that I had to deal with my son, actually. Because during any time when, you know, he was very inactive, he slept like absolute garbage. It was unbelievable how terrible his sleep was. But boy, if you put him right to work for a couple of days, it was amazing. But, and you'll recall a few weeks ago, I mentioned also that And it's part of that study is that the body has to work, and there's a certain threshold. There's a certain amount of work that you need to do during the day in order to accumulate that much adenosine and whatnot, and for all of these hormonal changes to happen in the brain that says, hey, not only are we going to sleep, but we're going to sleep deep because we've got lots of repair to do.
Yes.
If you're like what I'm doing most of the time these days and just sitting behind the computer, there's nothing to repair.
Right, you know? Right.
So we don't need to go deep REM for most of the night, you know? So it's really important, yeah. And, of course, then that affects, whatchamacallit, recovery and everything else. I mean, that's how we're supposed to function.
Talk about the variables of manual labor that actually create this effect.
Yeah, so what I'm going to list, we're going to get into a little bit of actual poundage, just some food for thought. But it starts with the fact that if you're doing manual labor, and I have to, if people are wondering, well, how do I know? You need to know that I grew up on a dairy farm that also it was farming and logging. So I grew up farming and logging, and that included with horses and with modern machinery. You know, so I have lots and lots and lots of experience with this. I also did carpentry and anything else that, you know, falls under that scope. So you do a lot of walking. I mean, just an unbelievable amount of walking. Now, of course, some manual labor jobs are a little bit different. You know, obviously, if you're working in a warehouse, it's a little bit different than if you're on a farm in northeastern Vermont or whatever. But there's a heck of a lot more walking in manual labor than there is pretty much anywhere else in society. By the nature of manual labor, there's a lot of climbing as well. You're climbing up onto equipment. You're climbing up onto a house. You're climbing up into a barn. You're always climbing onto something. And that's an important thing because there's a lot of movements there that are pretty unique. And, you know, it's certainly something you're not going to ever work in the gym, and certainly not in that manner per se. Your average load for the manual laborer is 5 to 35 pounds. And it's generally closer to the 5 pounds than it is the 35 pounds. And it's really interesting. When I did studies of total volume in manual labor, you have to understand that whatever manual labor you're doing, you're generally doing thousands and thousands and thousands of repetitions, if you want to look at it that way. You know, so when you go in and you do your 5x5 or, you know, 5x10 or whatever.
Yeah, it's nothing. It's nothing compared to working. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Total load of what these guys are doing is just insane. I'll list off the weights, and then I'll give you a couple of examples. So average load, 5 to 35 pounds. Now, as you go, let's say as a dairy farmer in the summertime, an occasional moderate load that I would handle would be 35 to 55 pounds. You could even bump that moderate load bit up to 100 pounds. You know, 100 pound bag of grain or something like that.
Right.
You know, I mean. And so then I'll say that the rare heavy load would be between 100 and 1,000 pounds. And, you know, it's easy to say, my God, what do you have? That's quite a range. Well, yes, but you see, the tire on a skidder, which is what you pull logs out of the woods with, one tire weighs 1,000 pounds. And then the rim inside that tire weighs anywhere, depending on which rim it is and what size it is, weighs between 500 and 1,000 pounds of pure steel. And you may have to flip that over. And so really, it's usually two of you to do that. But it's quite a feat. And that's not rare. If you take your average tractor tire, it's about half of that. So about 500 pounds. So, you know, when you're talking, and I'll talk later about how, you know, where the whole tire flipping and fitness came from, but you will find those loads. I mean, sometimes you've got to try to lift a multiple, you know, many thousands of pounds piece of machinery by the tow bar. You're trying to lift it up to hook it up to a piece of equipment, to a tractor or something. You know, there's a lot of different stuff there. But the big thing is that this work is continuous, and it's at a rate and an intensity that keeps the heart rate and the breath rate elevated for 4 to 8 hours a day.
But not dramatically elevated like if you're running on a treadmill, but even the fact that it's elevated even 10 or 15% for that length of time has an impact on conditioning.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I'll get to that in just a second here. The last thing that I guess one of the things I wanted to throw out there as well is that all of this work, all of it, is done with the worst quote unquote technical form you've ever seen in your life. You do what you have to do. Bent spines, axial loaded spines. I mean, just things that would give the average personal trainer in the gym an absolute conniption fit is just simply normal.
Right.
That's the way it is. Now, of course, when you grow up doing this and you've adapted properly into it, that's fine. You know, where that problem comes from in the gym is people that are not adapted, that they're very susceptible to injury. And then we say, oh, axial loading is horrible. Well, I'm sorry, did you ever tie your shoe? That's axial loading.
Right.
You know, on your spine. So there's that. But then the big thing that makes it special is that ultimately, at the end of the day, manual labor is what I call loaded aerobic work, because the intensity of the activity maintains the body in a predominant aerobic zone, but it's not just that you're moving your body. It's one thing, so for example, to go for a jog, you're just moving your body. But when you're doing manual labor, you're in that lower aerobic training zone, but you are lifting things thousands of times and manipulating objects. I guess ultimately that's what you're doing. You're manipulating objects thousands of times every day in that zone. And that has a dramatic and, I mean, truly profound effect on the human body. And the way that I finally put all of this together was I was trying to figure out what the hell is it about kettlebells that has such a dramatic and profound effect on the human body. Well, this is it. Because you're using the same type of loads for hundreds and hundreds of repetitions.
Mm.
And that's the secret sauce.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm gonna drop the next break so we can go right into segment 3 and 4 because I've got to stay on clock today. So
yeah, definitely.
Okay. So kettlebell. So I should start using my kettlebells more often. It sounds like. I mean, it looks like
I'm quite fond of them.
Okay. So replicating manual labor for those who can't go out and work the job, you say kettlebell training in all various movement patterns.
Yeah, it's one of the primary. Well, there's a couple of different things that make kettlebells really dramatically better than everything else out there, and that is number one. You can use them in damn near all movement patterns. So, you know, you're restricted. Like, it's very hard to use a kettlebell to do a downward press. It's very hard to use a kettlebell in an overhead pull. But pretty much everything else, you can use them for that movement pattern. Even if you want to get into bodybuilding things like curls, I mean, they did this all throughout the Soviet Union, using kettlebells for curls. And it's not easy. It's pretty difficult. But at any rate, you can do that. The next thing that makes that important is that you can do all of that. You can adjust the load so that you can be either aerobic, lactate, or anaerobic in those movement patterns.
Interesting.
And that's truly profound, just stunningly, stunningly profound. And that's the secret of my kettlebell training system, is that I manipulate energy systems that way. With those, so the results are quite astonishing, because that's what we're doing, is we're manipulating that. And when you keep, you know, the majority, you know, 80% of your training aerobic, and you make 10% lactate and 10% anaerobic, you're creating monsters. I mean, in just a matter of weeks, people are just stunned at what happens to their bodies.
So another aspect of replicating manual labor, you say, is to then throw in calisthenics into your training.
Yeah, so this is another one of those things where I looked at the way that humans develop well, like just like your Mennonite friend or myself when I was young, and you know, I noticed that nothing that you do in life is ever, say, 70 reps at a time. or very little of it is 70 reps at a time. I mean, I certainly never unloaded 2,000 bales as fast as I could, one every second.
Right,
you pace
yourself, right.
Right. And you know, the Russians, when they do kettlebell work, you know, they start with, you know, for example, if someone's really bad, they may say, you're only doing 3 reps in a minute. And they'll bump it up to 6 reps in a minute, and then 12 reps in a minute. And you know, they play with those types of that type of timing. And of course, that matches up exactly with how, you know, the rate, that's the right word, the rate of repetitions that you would do, say, unloading 2,000 hay bales in a day or something like that. And so what you really need to do if you want true success in calisthenics is you need more volume, but you don't get it by doing more reps. I don't care if you're doing, you know, one of my favorite things is body weight circuits, but only doing 1 or 2 repetitions of each exercise through each exercise in the circuit and doing that circuit as many times as you can. Mm-hmm. That is profoundly more productive, profoundly more effective than trying to knock out sets of 10 or 20 or 30. And it's not that those things don't have their place. They do. But just from a general training perspective, doing more sets of super low reps in a calisthenic circuit is always going to be better. Every single time. And then not only that, but then if you then split that up 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day, good Lord. It's just that, you know, normal society doesn't really allow for that amount of time to do that. And so that's kind of a problem.
Right.
That then gets into things like, so then if you want to bump the skill level up, the next thing, because I think somewhere along the line, we may have touched on the fact that there's a number of different types of skill that can be developed. And something like a push-up is actually a very low skill movement. But there's another category of bodyweight training out there, like Greg Mahovich's combat acrobatics training, which I highly, highly recommend, where you're doing much more complex movement. And once you are able to do that with just body weight, you put on a weight vest or a flak vest or something, and you keep doing it. And I've got a very good friend of mine who I love to mention this all the time. His wife made him stop doing it. He nearly tore the door handle off of his house. He did break the door handle on his door, and his wife said, if you keep doing this, you're not touching me again, because he was too strong with everything that he was doing. That's how unbelievably powerful that type of training can be. And he would only do, you know, two repetitions of each of these exercises in a flow, you know, that just rolled together. And he would do that for 30 minutes. He would just do it timed. And it was just amazing what that would do for you. And then, of course, if you mix that with, you know, some light scrambling or low intensity parkour, or, you know, just walking and climbing over obstacles or something, you know, what you start to build is really amazing. And none of this really involves, you know, you don't need a gym to do any of it. You know,
right.
So then
obviously you can add a weight vest to these things to make it more complicated and start loading you better. Walking and climbing things, walking more and climbing things, obviously that's something most people can do. What is scrambling is like, you know, running back and forth, that kind of thing, right?
Scrambling is more of an uphill pursuit. It's finding a slope that usually kind of a boulder strewn slope where you've got a basically what a scramble is,
like a slalom, an uphill running slalom.
Yeah. And it's typified by the fact that it's so steep you have to use all 4 of your appendages. You can't walk up it, run up it. You've got to use your hands to balance and pull while you're walking and running up. So, yeah, that's what scrambling is.
Now, we all have friends who are manual laborers, and we all have friends who are manual laborers that are slobs, unhealthy, and right now many of you are going, "Yeah, but Nate, I got a friend, he's a construction worker, and the guy is sick all the time and he's a slob and so it's, you can screw this up just like you can screw up training in the gym, and how you screw it up, obviously we got to talk about that."
Yeah, well, I mean, the first thing that happens is that, I mean, it's it's the pitfall that everyone falls into, which is that nobody knows what to eat or how to eat. And you have to understand that in this country, one of the things, especially when it comes to folks in manual labor professions, is that, you know, we are still haunted by the Great Depression. And as a matter of fact, I mean, things, for example, here in northeastern Vermont and in New England, things really weren't a whole lot better until the 80s. Things were getting better in the 70s. Talking to the folks that you know have lived here all their lives, you know, I think what people fail to understand is that in some parts of this country, they're still 30 years behind everyone else, and certain professions are that way as well. And the thing where I'm going with this is that when food gets scarce, then you eat what you can and what's available, which is what is cheap and plentiful. And so, you know, lots and lots of people grew up on basically their mother would just either cook out of a box or a can, or she would take pasta, make some pasta, throw some tomato sauce on it and say, there you go. And it was pasta with red sauce and bread with some butter. And, you know, if you got a slice of cheese, you were lucky and, you know, cereal and milk and all this sort of thing, because carbohydrates are cheap. They were mass produced and cheap. And of course you're hungry as hell. And so you eat as much of it as you can, and you can get away with that when you're young. But you have to remember that everything growing up is training. And so you're training your children how to eat by how you feed them. So if you do this, if that's all you feed your children, because that's all you have, you've taught and you've trained your children that that is how to eat. And then they go out and they marry someone, and the two of them, that's all they know how to cook is just, you know, pasta and junk and things from a box. And that, you know, that works okay until their late 20s. And then they start packing on the pounds and packing it on and packing it on, and it all catches up to them. And that kind of combines with the issue of technology, which is something that happened to, you know, folks in my family and my friends around here. You know, we used to log by hand. You drove a skidder down into the woods, and then you got out and you cut the trees with a chainsaw and so on and so forth. And that there's just an unbelievable amount of manual labor involved in that. Now you take a feller buncher down into the woods, you just run a couple of joysticks and you cut it down. And I'm talking to my brother a couple of years ago when I got home. I said, what's the difference between you and me in physical activity? How much more physical activity do you do in logging now than I do behind my computer now? And the difference was very little.
Right.
The difference was sometimes something broke and he had to get out and fix it, whereas I don't when I'm sitting behind the computer. And so, but he's still eating like we were, you know, 15
right.
back on the farm.
And more importantly, manual laborers drink a lot of alcohol. They love to have beer on the job. They drink beer
yep.
off the job. That's a pox. We
yep.
have 8 minutes. I got to push this forward.
Yeah, yeah.
Things that manual labor donated to fitness industry, farmers walks, right?
Yeah.
Tire
yeah.
flipping.
Yep, go ahead.
No, sledgehammer and tire training and sled pulling and pushing. These are all things that guys did to earn $8 an hour back in the day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I nearly died when I heard of farmer's walks because nobody that I know
calls
they've never fed calves. You know, I used to have 40 or 50 calves that I used to have to carry 2 buckets full of milk from the barn to where the calves were and feed those calves twice a day, every single day, you know, 40 below zero, didn't matter. And then there's people going, oh, we're going to farmer's walk. Like, man, whatever. Tire flipping, you know, honestly, I think given the time we have, I'd like to tell more of the stories about this. So we should
okay.
pick up some of this
Go
in
ahead.
Another episode. But,
okay.
but, you know, tire flipping was something you had to do with when you were changing tires. And the sledgehammer and tire training thing, that's what you had to do to actually get the
tire off
the
rim. Right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
And then you're always pushing and pulling something, you know?
Right.
There's always that. And a lot of interesting things happen with some of these, and that's why, honestly, we could almost spend a whole show just on these exercises.
Well, let's pick up those 4 exercises on
yeah.
the next episode. Let's talk about, this is really important, approximate weight of things. A shovel filled with whatever, sand or dirt, 2 to 5 pounds.
Well, yeah, and depending on the type of shovel, maybe the shovel itself weighs 2 to 5 pounds.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Yeah,
and
right.
Then, right? And then depending on what you're shoveling, so what I did for the folks at home is I just listed out some weights for people, and I'll read through these, and then I'll give you a great example when I get to the hay bale of the types of volume we're talking about. A shovel 2 to 5 pounds. A splitting maul for splitting firewood is going to be 8 to 12 pounds, depending on the size that you get.
Right.
There's a smaller version of it called an axe, which is 3 to 6 pounds. Let's say you're doing road work, quarry work, and you use a pickaxe. Those range from 2.5 pounds to 8 pounds. Now the real fun thing is a square hay bale, and we used to put in thousands of these a day, typically 2,000 a day. And they weigh anywhere from, depending on how wet they are and the type of grass, 35 to 55 pounds. Now, if I put 2,000 of those in a day, then that means I'm lifting 80,000 pounds.
Yeah, 40 tons.
That's the same volume as an Olympic weightlifter in Russia.
And you know what's funny? When I was a kid, I worked on the racetrack, and when they used to deliver straw and hay, we used to have to climb up in the truck. They have two wires on them. You grab them with both hands. You wear gloves. It's
That's
easier.
Right.
And we used to throw them off the truck, and then someone would carry them into the barn. And, I mean, and we would have to unload a truck quickly because this guy had to move to the next barn.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I'll give you, to get on that, you know, or to expand on that, I would have to unload that wagon, take every hay bale, put them onto a hay elevator, and they would go up into the barn, and then I'd have to go up in the barn and stack them. So that's 160,000 pounds in a day.
Right.
And that was an easy day. 2,000 bales was an easy, no big deal day. There were days we did 3, sometimes 4,000 bales, and you handled every single one of them twice.
Right.
So, you know, think about that. I mean, you're blowing Olympic athletes out of the water with the amount of work that you're doing. Average piece of firewood before you split it, anywhere from 35 to 70 pounds. Once you split it, 10 to 30 pounds. Running a chainsaw, depending on the model you get, 12 to 15 pounds. A skidder tire is 1,000 pounds. A skidder tire with a rim, anywhere from 1,500 to 2,000 pounds. 1 5-gallon pail of milk is 40 pounds, because you don't fill it all the way up, otherwise it would be 43 pounds. And if you're carrying around newborn calves, little baby cows, they're born at about 63 pounds on average, and they only get bigger from there starting day one, believe me. And you know, so there's all kinds of things to lift and heft and throw and pull and whatever for, you know, 4, 5, 6, 10,000 reps a day.
You know what, you know, I think the next fitness craze is you and I, we start a farm,
yeah,
and people pay us to come and unload our hay and feed our cows. And, I mean, think about it. I mean, look at the profitability of you. You're getting paid by your workers, and you're selling your product. You're getting profit on there, too. There you go.
You're going to love this. You're going to love this. There's a guy in Pittsfield, Vermont, started something called the Death Race. And it was either, I think, a 24-hour race, or maybe it was a 48-er. I don't remember exactly. They got bought out, I think, maybe by the Spartan Race guys or whatever. But that's what this guy did, was you would have to build a fence, put in all of his firewood, move all this stuff all over the place. He would just save up all these chores and then have these idiots do it. They'd pay him like $100 to run this race to exhaustion.
And what would the winner get?
Collapse. I'd like a T-shirt, you know.
Oh, man, that guy was brilliant. That guy is
absolutely
brilliant.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think we should do it, though. Let's absolutely do it.
Look, the website is militarymultisport.com. If you're deployed, you can reach out to Nate and his team there. If you're not deployed, not in the military, but you just want to be a badass, reach out to Nate there, militarymultisport.com. This is not the kind of information you're going to hear from any of the fitness gurus out there, because they just don't get it. It's not all about seeing your abs, man. That's the least of the magic in staying fit, staying strong, well into your 80s, 90s, and beyond. And this is it. This is the kind of stuff that we need to be looking at and thinking about how to integrate back into our lives. These are the things that humans did before we became, quote unquote, civilized. We did these things for millions of years. The stuff we're doing now, not so long. So this is great stuff. Great, great stuff, Nate. Fantastic. I love it.
Thank you, Carl.
And Nate will have. I'm gonna put the clamps on him now. Nate will have a brief ebook describing the force production method of training.
Yes.
Within the next couple weeks, and you'll be able to get it for free. Yes, I said free. Who does that?
Yep.
No one. At superhumanradio.net. Hey, brother, I got to rush today because we have another guest right after you.
Absolutely.
Talk to you next week, man.
Thank you much. Have a great one, Carl.
Okay. We're going to take one quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about humic and fulvic acid and what the magic is about it. Stay tuned. Followed my transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenics Prime and then train fasted and remain fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenics Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenics Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenics banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenics Prime. I couldn't have done it without it.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
U.S. Wellness Meats is the leader in home-delivered, high-quality animal protein. Grass-fed beef, lamb, bison, and dairy. Plus, wild-caught seafood, heritage pork, and free-range poultry. Everything delivered right to your door within days of your order. There is no one better to supply you and your family with the highest quality pastured meat product and dairy than U.S. Wellness Meats. Save 15% off when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the U.S. Wellness Meats banner ad today. 74% of Americans are living with digestive issues. They take pills and potions to mask the symptoms but never address the root cause. Introducing GI Ultramax Pro, a complex of scientifically substantiated all-star ingredients that reestablish your gut's operating system, allowing you to be better shielded against the bad actors in your food and environment. The gut is complicated, and it takes GI Ultramax Pro to deliver real long-lasting results. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the GI Ultramax Pro banner ad or visit MotherEarthLabs.com and use code SHR for free shipping.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. So one of the many times I was at Quest, we were sitting around one of the conference room tables, and we were listening to a gentleman talk about humic and fulvic acid. I remember the name humic And fulvic from back in the day when, I want to say grammar school biology, it was something that we found in soil. I didn't realize that there was any real magic in it until Dr. Stuart Hoover started talking about it. And, of course, we're joined by Carolyn Carter, too. How you doing, guys?
Great.
Okay.
Nice to be here.
Yes, glad to have you. Where does this start with humic and fulvic acid, the discovery of it, and what exactly does it do? Who wants to grab that?
You want to run with that one, or you want me to take it?
Go right ahead.
Well, Carl, always great to be on with you, and I remember that meeting well in the think tank out of Quest.
When Ron Penner was trying to convince you why a sucralose was okay to remember that?
Oh, I did. Yeah, well, you know, I walked in and saw all the Coke, the Diet Coke machines everywhere. And yeah, Ron and I got in, if I remember, it was a fairly awkward conversation.
Yes, yes, it was. It was. Yeah.
Anyway, but the good thing is, hopefully, Ron's taken fulvic to help neutralize those effects, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay. I'll take that. So there go ahead. Go. So what exactly is humic and fulvic? Where do they come from, and what do they do for us?
Well, you know, humic and fulvic basically have been around forever. You know, I always like to tell people that we really wouldn't have vegetation on this planet without it, but. You know, where humic and fulvic are made is actually in the ground. These are molecules that are made when vegetation is broken down in the soil by microorganisms, and it creates these wonderful molecules. We like to call them nature's miracle molecules, and simply what they do is they help to draw nutrients and minerals from the soil up through the plant roots into the plant, so the plants can benefit from those nutrients in the soil and grow. And in turn, we should be consuming these plants that are rich with these molecules that basically do the same thing in the cells in our body. So if you can imagine, we consume the plant that's rich in these molecules, it helps to provide essential trace minerals that have been brought into the plant, as well as helping to support what we like to call improved cell membrane dynamics, which to me is where everything begins. We kind of win and lose our health at the cell level. So, you know, when I heard Carrie Lynn Carter talking about these at a continuing ed function I attended, it had been about 10 years ago, it really changed my whole thinking on supplementation, you know, because I was one of those practitioners in functional medicine that had a natural pharmacy of 250 different products. And you know, I always wondered why certain things would work with certain people and certain people it wouldn't work with, even if they presented with the same issues. And what I come to find out is that without these molecules supporting proper cell health, there's a good chance we're just not absorbing these products or even the other nutrients that are coming in from food. So
this is brilliant. You know, my father used to tell me it doesn't matter how much money you make, it matters how much money you save.
That's
and
right.
And we can use that same analogy in nutrition. It doesn't matter how well you eat and what you eat, if you're not obtaining the needed constituents in that food and incorporating them into your body. So you're telling me that humic and fulvic improve that process.
Absolutely. And, you know, Carl, an interesting term I coined in our clinic years ago, it's called nutraceutically induced toxicity. And, you know, what that means is, you know, we're taking all these supplements and things today, and you're right, we're kind of bringing them to the bank. The problem is the door's locked, and we can't get them into the vault to store them. And that's simply really what humic and fulvic do, is help kind of unlock those doors on the cell membrane so we can absorb these nutrients more effectively, as well as providing the full complement of trace minerals in the proper biological form for the cells to use. You know, a lot of people today are consuming supplements. I would imagine most of your listeners here probably have a cabinet full of products and a lot of vitamins and things. And, you know, without these trace minerals, we cannot utilize those vitamins or metabolize them. So we tend to forget about the important role that these trace minerals play in our health. And, you know, that's only one aspect of what humic and fulvic are doing. You know, they're also phenomenal detoxifiers, you know, especially fulvic acid. These are very unique bidirectional antioxidants that penetrate the cells. They cross the blood-brain barrier. They can draw out toxins and heavy metals even deeply embedded within the cell. So, you know, they're phenomenal in really supporting cell health. And, you know, you and I talked about this before. You know, I always like to say we got to kind of look at health as a trickle-up process.
Right.
Improve cell function, improve the tissues, organs, and systems, instead of trying to work it from the top down.
Okay, so explain, Carrie Lynn, I'm going to ask you this because I want to hear from you too. Bidirectional antioxidant, does that mean that it dones itself to replenish other antioxidants? What does that mean, bidirectional?
It can, absolutely. Bidirectional means that it can donate or accept charges, or, you know, free radicals or charges, like unbalanced charges. So, you know, in its molecule, the molecule can actually hold electrons and donate electrons. It's really important to just not in a detox function, but also on a cellular membrane function that Dr. Hoover was just speaking about, that these molecules donate electrons that charge up our cell membrane. So it helps the function of taking in the nutrients as well as the natural detox functions that are going on in the cell. Those toxins have to get out of the cell. And when the cell membrane dynamics aren't in place, the toxins build up inside the cell and they can't get out. So sometimes, you know, when you start with the humic and fulvic acids, that will create a situation where it opens up and the toxins start coming out and you feel a whole lot better with that. Sometimes it's good to take it slowly because too much of the toxins coming out can give you, you know, a reaction. But, you know, generally speaking, you can just really start to feel it in a very gentle way.
Yeah, it could overwhelm your system if too many of the toxins come out. That's the problem with taking that MDMSA or whatever it is. That a lot of people that take and they feel horrible afterwards. And it's like, well, yeah, I had a theory. If I was going to take that stuff, I was going to donate blood the next day. I figured if I'm going to move all the toxins, I'm sorry for the person who gets my blood. I'm going to say that ahead of time. Boy, you really like that one, huh, Carolyn? But anyway, if I'm going to move all the toxins from the cells into the blood, I need to off put that blood. I need to get rid of it. So I go to Red Cross and I donate blood.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow. Yeah. Hope it doesn't go through the bag in that process. Yeah.
So the other thing I'm hearing from you, and either of you can respond here, Dr. Chris Masterjohn came on my show once. We talked about the vegan diet, how inappropriate it is for 99% of humans. And his assertion was, if you're that 1% of human beings whose microbiota and digestive system work so efficiently that you can extract everything from the vegetable diet that you're eating, then you may be able to not thrive but survive on a vegan diet. But it sounds to me like every vegan should be taking humic and fulvic.
Oh, I totally agree. You know, in 25 years and in working with thousands and thousands of clients, you know, we saw everything. And I always said that the sickest people that came into my clinic were probably the people trying to exist on a vegetarian diet. And For many of those reasons, you know, the fouled up gut, which we'll talk about. But, you know, when we simply get back to our food supply today, you know, we're dealing with these engineered processed foods. And one, without the humic and fulvic being created in the soil, and that's a big problem. That's really kind of where the story begins today, is that with the cultivation practices, farming practices, fungicides, pesticides, all these things that are used today, to grow things really quick, we're stunning these microbes' activity in the soil. So we're not actually creating the humic and fulvic to bring these nutrients up. So, you know, and Carl, I know you're a good eater, and I'm sure you've seen the difference. If you go to the store and you buy a tomato, it looks really good. You get home and you cut it open, and it tastes like nothing. It
doesn't have any taste, yeah. Right.
Yeah, and then you go to the farmer's market, or you maybe have a garden in your yard that you're growing vegetables, and it's a totally different experience. From the outside, they may look similar, but when you taste them, they're totally different.
Right.
And
right.
A lot of that is due to the lack of minerals, which provide taste in these foods. So, you know, we have to understand that, and a lot of people that are eating that way, they're thinking, man, I'm eating all these fresh foods and things, but they're lacking these nutrients, and that's why a lot of them are so sick.
Interesting. Very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to shift gears yet, because let's talk about this. So what kind of dosages should people be taking of humic and fulvic, and do they have to be taken together?
Well, you know, a good starting point, I think, for anybody is to look at using these together because, you know, these molecules do different, they have different activities.
And they coexist in nature together, right?
They coexist in nature, that's correct. A lot of people think they're different, they're not. It really simply kind of comes down to the size and activity. So the humic molecules do a great job of supporting gut health in reducing oxidation in the gut, helping to repair tissue, reduce inflammation, remove toxins to where the fulvic, more biologically active, cross the blood-brain barrier. So they're going deeper into the body.
Really?
So using them together is always a really good starting point. You know, we have a product called The Gift, which is our base. That's kind of our flagship product, which is the humic and fulvic together. They can be isolated, and we have that, and we can talk a little bit more about that. But for anybody listening that's like, you know, this just makes sense. I want to start supporting cell health, improving that energetic dynamic to the cell, detoxing. Starting with both is great, and I recommend people begin with an ounce. We have it in a pre-mixed, really neat container that measures it out. And, you know, do that for a week, and then after that, increase it to an ounce twice a day, and over a period of, you know, 3 to 4 weeks, they can go up even as high as an ounce three times a day. I found that to be very effective for, you know, 60 to 90 days to just kind of get the ball rolling, really help with that detox process. And, you know, we were talking a minute ago about the reactions, you know, like you were saying, the toxic blood. And that's true. We tend to pull a lot of these toxins out when people are going through these programs and they get sick. We call these Herxheimer's reactions. A lot of it is because if you think about it, these toxins, like a pond, they're kind of laying in the bottom of the pond. You know, you go up to the pond, it's nice and clear, you throw a rock in and you stir up everything on the bottom and it becomes real mucky. So think about that in the body. The challenge is we got to get that muck out through these exit mechanisms like our kidneys, you know, liver, lymphatic system, and many times these systems are very congested or the energetic capacity is low because of what we've been talking about. You know, that cell energy capacity drops, so these mechanisms aren't functioning properly. And what I found is that by using humic and fulvic together, even with other detox programs, it really reduces those effects. It safely helps to bind and move these toxins out and also helps to support these exit mechanisms.
So we've talked on this show about the fact that the 75% of the population suffers from gut problems, and most of them have distended-looking guts. And that's a sign generally of inflammation from the esophagus to the anus.
Right.
Is the gift a good idea for someone who's trying to reverse that type of gut inflammation? And if so, how long does it take for it to start to work?
You know, the gift is such a wonderful place to begin because, you know, the humic molecules, well, both the humic and fulvic are doing so much work in the gut to help with detox and oxidation, which is, you know, a lot of the basis of inflammation in the body. You know, everybody's different, Carl. I think it just depends, you know, how long, at what level of toxicity and inflammation they are. But, you know, my experience is most people in, you know, 4 to 6 weeks begin to see fairly significant change in that. And that's just with the humic and fulvic. But, you know, if you think about, like, our GI product we talked about last week, you know, that's really a very comprehensive approach to taking care of a lot of these gut issues and this distension. I found people literally within days notice that distension improving and, you know, bowel movements improving. You know, we're starting to move things more efficiently through the gut. So, you know, it really, again, depends. We didn't get sick overnight. People are at different levels of sickness. So I always like to say give it, you know, a good 4 to 6 weeks. And by that point, I think we begin really mobilizing and moving things better.
Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but could you stack the gift with GI Ultramax Pro?
Well, you certainly can, but here's the good news. That base is in our gift. It's already in there.
So the GI Ultramax Pro base is in the gift?
We in the gift itself, which is what we've referred to as our lignite extract, the humic and fulvic base, that is in the GI Ultramax product.
Ah, interesting.
Right.
Interesting.
But you could amplify it with the GIF if you want.
Absolutely, and we do that a lot with folks. But
I was just going to say, and if somebody's really having gut problems, it probably would benefit them to take both of them and really kind of carpet bomb the entire gut at that point.
Good way to put it. I like carpet
bombing.
Good way to
put it.
Yeah, right. There you go. You know. I grew up
something else, Carl.
You know, I grew up through the Vietnam War. So that's where I get. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking more about Umic Fulvic and GI Ultramax Pro. Stay tuned. Percent of Americans are living with digestive issues. They take pills and potions to mask the symptoms but never address the root cause. Introducing GI Ultramax Pro, a complex of scientifically substantiated all-star ingredients that reestablish your gut's operating system, allowing you to be better shielded against the bad actors in your food and environment. The gut is complicated, and it takes GI Ultramax Pro to deliver real, long-lasting results. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the GI Ultramax Max Pro banner ad, or visit MotherEarthLabs.com and use code SHR for free shipping.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoKana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Cana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Cana banner ad today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Live On Labs. You too can benefit from Live On Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Live On Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
When's the last time you look forward to taking your pre-workout? I mean, like thinking about it the night before, shaking it up, anticipating the way it tastes. The music starts to thump louder. The weight starts to get lighter. Get ready to feel that way. Bounty Hunter is that pre-workout. Bounty Hunter will make you believe in pre-workouts again. Get free shipping with code SHR on a jug of ridiculously delicious, badass, vanilla bourbon Bounty Hunter. Go to WildWestNutrition.com or click the banner ad at SuperhumanRadio.net.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
J.R. Sean Kingston.
You're way too beautiful, girl. That's why.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Carolyn Carter and Dr. Stuart Hoover. We're talking about humic and fulvic acid by themselves, but also they are components of their GI Ultramax Pro, which I have to tell you, I started to develop some really nasty GERD. It was happening at night when I went to sleep, and I wasn't eating late. I eat, my last meal is 3 hours before I go to bed. Daniel Orego was aware of this. We had talked about it. He sent me a jug of GI Ultramax Pro, and I don't think you guys even knew that he sent it to me, so it wasn't like as though he was setting this up to segue into a sponsorship opportunity. He said, check this out and let me know what happens. So I took a scoop a day until the jug was gone, and the GERD went away. I don't have GERD at night at all. It just went away, and that's the only thing I changed about what I was doing. And that's when I reached out to you. I said, wow, this product really works. I still have another. So my stomach has gotten flatter. There's no doubt about it. I don't have the level of distension. My gut doesn't stick out right below my sternum anymore. It's actually, and as time goes on, it will continue to get flatter and flatter because the inflammation is being reduced. But gut inflammation reduction is a very, very, very slow process because, as you pointed out, Dr. Hoover, it took years to happen. You can't just flip a switch and make it go away. And that's what people really want, but it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I have one lingering problem, and it's laryngeal, GERD. So I have, the esophagus has two sphincters, one right below the voice, the vocal cords, and then one at the entry to the stomach. And the one below the vocal cords just keeps stuff that is transient in the esophagus from coming back up, so to speak. And it's more of a lemony taste that you get when you have this, but it can cause problems. It'll affect your sinuses because this is acid. It's coming back up on you. And I'm just wondering, have you had any experience with that condition over time when addressing these gut issues, or is that a completely different hemisphere entirely?
Well, you know, Carl, I think it certainly can. And yes, to answer your question, it's kind of the silent GERD process, we call it. And, you know, where we're not getting the rebound, the reflux and all that, but, you know, it's still, you know, inflammation in that tissue and that sphincter valve, which will cause it to kind of move, you know, the wrong way, basically open up. It's like a check valve. So, to me, you know, anytime we can support reducing inflammation systemically in the body, then we've got a shot at getting to that. And, you know, so again, you got to kind of think of the root cause, which is inflammation, and where a lot of that inflammation begins is in the gut.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, kind of moves its way out through everything. So to answer your question, we're supporting the inflammation response. You know, that's what's kind of so important. And you and I came up, I think, with a really kind of cool coin to this all. It's almost like we're bringing a better operating system in,
right,
supporting that operating system instead of trying to just target the symptom. So,
well, and also, when those of us who've lost body fat, no, you don't lose body fat linearly across the entire body. There are some spots that disappear quickly and some that don't. I kind of think that the silent GERD portion of this is the last thing that happened. So it's going to be the last thing to go away because it took longer for that portion of my esophagus to be affected,
right,
than the others. So I am noticing changes. I got to be honest with you. I don't get that gritty feeling in my throat anymore, but I still have that lemony taste. But it's going away. I've also incorporated... So here's something interesting, and maybe you guys can use this. I have a cousin named Vincent who's played the saxophone his entire life. I remember reading an article about 10 years ago about people who played this Australian instrument actually stopped snoring. It's like a big tube. I can't think of what it was called, but it's like a big, the Aborigines play. It's a big, long tube, and you wrap your lips around it, you blow into it, it makes this kind of foghorn sound. And what is it?
Isn't it like a didgeridoo?
Didgeridoo, yeah,
like,
that's it. Yeah, didgeridoo.
Okay.
So they did an actual study with this, and they showed that learning to play this, and within 6 weeks, people stopped snoring, and people with mild obstructive sleep apnea completely correct itself. And it makes sense because you're actually exercising these muscles, mm-hmm, in the back of the throat and in the jaw and in the mouth and so on as a complex. So I thought about this. And I thought about, if you blow into something, I'm sure, because I've looked for exercises to affect that laryngeal sphincter. There's none, they say. But then I thought about it. When you blow into something, that laryngeal sphincter has to tighten up to keep air from blowing back down into the esophagus and into the gut. And so I just started a couple days ago, pursing my lips like I'm going to kiss, putting my hand over my lips and blowing 10 repetitions at a time. Because my theory is, the same way the dirigidoo works, I can affect that musculature that controls that sphincter and make it stronger and make it close better. What are your thoughts on this? I'm already seeing changes, but I don't want to say anything yet because I'm hopeful, and hopefulness can lead to misguided results, obviously. What are your thoughts on this, either of you?
I think it makes sense. And, I kind of go back to the problem with, the visceral fat and things that, start really kind of building up a lot of times before we even notice it, deep around these organs, in the center of the body. So, and like anything, they become compressed. I think the tissue becomes stressed. It becomes weak. So, yeah, I think anything we can do to kind of reawaken and improve, tone in those tissues and in that muscle, to me, logically, that just makes sense. So
let's talk about GI Ultramax Pro for a second. Since it has the humic and fulvic in it, what are the humic and fulvic doing within that complex there, specifically? Is it doing more than just taking humic and fulvic by itself?
Well, the beauty of humic and fulvic, and especially the fulvic molecules, is they enhance the bioavailability of anything else that they're in with, okay? And this is so important. When we're using supplementation, I think the key is, what's the net effect? Are we actually getting these in the cells and the tissues to be utilized? And, that's a lot of what really these molecules are doing, is enhancing the bioavailability. That's why it's really the base of everything that we do. So we can really get away with almost less and get a really higher net effect. And, Carl, even people that, are listening to your show that are using other supplements that they're probably very comfortable with, I used to tell people in my clinic, just add the humic and fulvic along with that to enhance the bioavailability of what you're using. So, that's why when Carrie Lynn and I started working on this gut product well over a year ago, and it takes many times a year to kind of perfect these things, we knew the base needed to be our lignite humic and fulvic extract to just help enhance all of these other wonderful ingredients to ensure that we're getting maximum utilization.
We have a listener on Facebook, James Baum, who just said he combines fulvic acid with desiccated liver for an amazing supplement combo.
Right. Absolutely. That's exactly what I'm talking about. So, if people are using supplementation, and I always think that's in the back of everybody's mind. Is this really working? Am I really getting benefit from it? Well, adding the humic and fulvic in with it, even if you're just eating a better diet, it's going to help your body utilize those nutrients better just from the foods if you're eating good quality foods. So, yeah, that's a great example of, a person combining that with, another support product and getting better results.
If you're listening to the show and you are interested in GI Ultramax Pro, if you have a problem with your gut, if you have a distended gut, if you look like you're pregnant and you're a guy, not a good thing. this product works. I'm telling you, man. It got rid of my GERD literally within 3 weeks. And it was terrible GERD. It was burning. It would wake me up in the evening. It was horrible. You can get free shipping by using the coupon code SHR. You can either go to MotherEarthLabs.com or SuperHumanRadio.net and click the banner ad. This stuff's legit. I give it my endorsement, 2 thumbs up. Great, great product. And obviously, now I'm interested in the fulvic and humic blend, obviously. So now I'm going to have to think about this as well. you guys are great. And Mother Earth Labs is a fantastic company. Great products there. Check it out. I mean, there's so many good things there. You also have Lugol's iodine solution up there, something that you can't even find anymore.
Absolutely.
Great stuff. I mean, that's good for your thyroid, right?
It's good for every cell in the body. We typically think about iodine initially for the thyroid, which it is important, but immune function, metabolism, every cell in the body is connected to iodine. So, we have a phenomenal product. And, you know, we're using both forms of, you know, the iodide in iodine, plus we have fulvic again in there to help with the bioavailability.
Oh, man. And, yep. And ladies, if you have ever been diagnosed with fibroids in your breasts,
mm-hmm.
quite often iodine will make them go away within like 6 to 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
So this is another good product. Fantastic. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
You're welcome. It was always a pleasure being here with you.
Yes, and thanks for being a sponsor also. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
All right. Well, that's it. Great show. Thanks to Nate Morrison for Military Fitness Radio and talking about manual labor. Makes me want to go out and get a different kind of job, actually. And, of course, to Dr. Stuart Hoover and Carolyn Carter over at Mother Earth Labs. Check out their products. Show them some love. They're great people. They have great products. Very, very legit. We'll see you Monday with more Superhuman Radio. Thank you for listening today.